This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz. This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Hey, everyone, and welcome. I'm so happy to have you here today. Today we've got kind of a touchy subject. We tend to talk about mom stuff and kids and all kinds of fun stuff like that. But today I really want to talk about teaching our kids really good communication skills. And today with me on the line is Meredith Curtis. Welcome, Meredith.
Thank you, Felice, for having me. I'm so excited to talk about this, and I agree with you. It is a touchy subject, but I think that it is something we definitely should talk about.
Right, and today our topic is the new trend, which is to unfriend. So for those of you that are on Facebook, that seems to be the new way to answer people who are saying things that are in opposition to what you believe. So before we get started, Meredith, and I'm a little bit out of breath here because I ran up the stairs to get into my office before the intro finished playing. So you can see how I'm out of shape, but I'm working on exercising and been podcasting about that. I've got a show coming out on Saturday about my exercising, or the last couple of days have not been exercise days, and I can already feel it. But anyway, why don't you tell us a little bit first, before we get started, about your books and where people can find them.
Thank you. I actually have a book on relationships that involves communication, and it's a Bible study. It's called Friends to the End, and you can find more information about it on powerlineprod.com or my personal website, meredithcurtis.com. And it just talks about how to have a good relationship. And I have several books on how to homeschool, joyful and successful homeschooling, 7 hours of homeschooling, and Bible studies for men and women and teens. And so please visit my website, powerlineprod.com, or my personal website, meredithcurtis.com.
Very good, very good. And I knew you'd have a book on the topic. Meredith has quite a few books on a lot of topics that are just so timely. And what I love, Meredith, is when you couldn't find a book that fit your particular needs for your children, you basically wrote these studies for your children and then ended up bringing them to publication for other people. So I'm, you know, so thankful that you did that. So, well, I wanted to talk today about this whole new trend out there. You know, we live in a world that has been forever changed by technology, and while many of these advances are wonderful, you know, I can work from anywhere with internet connection, cell phone, and laptop, you know, so it's great. So it's opened up some wonderful aspects to my ability to be mobile and still work, but also a major dilemma, and that is in the field of communication. Because if you are face-to-face with someone, you would never, you know, I would hope, say some of the hateful things that I've been reading online. And, you know, Meredith, there are many short-term solutions. Like, one is just turn off the computer and don't even, you know, I said the other day to my husband, you know, I want to turn off the news for the next 4 years. you know, and probably 4 years after that, and 4 years, I mean, never watch anything that's on. I mean, that's our instinct, because it just seems like every other day there's some other huge upheaval. But we can't really do that, and we have to be able to, well, let's put it this way, we could do that, but I'm afraid that's what we did. You know, as I was sharing with Meredith before we went on air, about 8 years ago, I know of prayer groups that started when our president was elected, and they have not ceased, and they were very instrumental, I believe, in praying for this election and having a pro-life president, whatever you might think of him. He has said he is pro-life, and he is going to, you know, work toward that end. So what I have been seeing online has just been hate for anyone who calls themselves a conservative Christian by certain people, not everyone. But I have found that we, you know, I've been praying about it and saying, okay, Lord, what do I do? And what I realized is that people are saying things in writing virtually that they would never say in person. And so today, Meredith, you and I are going to discuss what are some options, what are some things that people can do, and maybe give some really good suggestions on how we can, you know, combat this, I don't know that we can combat the anger, but that we can answer in a way that is godly, loving, and still speaking truth. Before we launch in, I want to tell you where you can find the show notes today, and you can find them at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. Look for the podcast. I forgot to look at the number before I got on. It's like it's in the 180 somewhere, but it's the podcast, The New Trend is to Unfriend. So, Meredith, what have you noticed about the same thing I have?
I have, and, you know, I had an interesting thing happen to me back in 2008 when Obama was first running for president, and I had real concerns because I believe people are made in the image of God, and I'm very strongly pro-life. And so I had real concerns about his views on abortion. And so I would post things, and I tried to do it. You know, I tried very hard on Facebook to not be, you know, opinionated or harsh or mean, but just say, okay, hey, here's some things that are you need to consider. And I had an old friend from college who had been a Christian in college, but she had, you know, turned away from the Bible, believing the Bible was true, and very venomous against Christians. And so she would get on my page. It wouldn't seem to matter what I posted about. It might be something, you know, kind of polarizing, like, you know, politics, but even just little things like a scripture from the Bible. And she wouldn't attack what I said, but she would argue with my friends. And then I would have people on my Facebook message me privately and say, who is this person? You know, she is really, you know, she's harsh, she's mean, she's very anti-Christian. And so what I did is I ended up messaging her privately, and I said, hey, listen, you and I have been friends a long time, and I guess that we don't see eye to eye anymore on the Word of God, but I want you to know that it's really unacceptable to me for you to behave the way you're behaving on my Facebook page, because to be honest with you, you're being rude to my friends, and they're not being rude to you back, and you know, I don't want to be rude to you, but if you don't change the way you're treating me and treating my friends, then I'm going to need to block you, because it was just, it had gone on now for months. And so she apologized to me, and we've been friends ever since. And that was 8 years ago. So it really, you know, another situation I had was, I had offended a homosexual friend from high school, And I had said something on Facebook, and then she had, you know, like, just nailed me. So I contacted her privately, and we just had a really long dialogue in a private message. And I, you know, I was able to share with her where I was coming from. She was able to share with me where she was coming from. And in the end, she saw, you know, even though I don't believe the Bible says that homosexuality is in any way acceptable, that I know that I love her and Jesus loves her. And, you know, anyway, we're still friends too. And that was years and years ago. And I just say that because relationships can survive when people disagree really, really strongly. And I think, I mean, if you look back to our founding fathers, they disagreed really strongly on politics. And yet they remained polite and friends with each other. So anyway, that's two of my experiences that I've had with the whole Facebook. I call it the volcano, you know, the volcano mode. It's like you go on Facebook and, oh, wow, someone just erupted, you know. So right. Anyway.
Yeah, that basically happened to me when I posted after I was in the airport with some of the women marchers, and they were not anyone I knew. And in conversation, it came out that not only did I not march with them, but I voted for the other guy. And I was pounced upon. And by the time we were done, and I did blog about this, and I'll put the link on its vintage, homeschoolmoms.com. It's podcast 183 is what this one is. But by the end, Meredith, the people that were so angry, I diffused the anger, because when we have these conversations, first of all, there are some rules. And, you know, if we need to set some rules, you know, rules of engagement or rules of discussion. And the first is that anger never wins. Being angry and loud and mean and accusing, it never wins an argument. And, you know, I was accused of liking the Ku Klux Klan. I was accused of, you know, because I had voted for Trump, that I must be prejudiced because of the birther issue, on and on and on. And I just looked at them and I said, you know, all I could say was, you have got to be kidding me. I mean, I was like at a loss for words. And I repeated that quite a few times. And I finally said to this one gentleman who was, you know, accusing me of all these things, I said, first of all, you don't know me. I said, we've just met, what? And I looked at my watch, you know, 5 minutes ago. I said, but what really, you know, I really want to know, are you a practical joker? And he said, what are you talking about? And I said, well, I just wondered, you know, do you like to prank people, or, you know? And he didn't know where I was going with this. And basically I said, you know, what you have said to me is so outlandish. I'm looking for the cameras somewhere, you know, hidden cameras or something, because this just seems like, you know, how could you accuse someone you don't know based upon who they voted for? I said, did I call you any hateful things because you voted for Hillary? And he said, no. And I said, you know, I could have accused you of, you know, all kinds of things, but I didn't. And so I think that if we you know, degrade to the level of conversation, because when I did get home and I posted on my Facebook page that we needed to learn from these women marchers that if there is something we don't like, we should not sit home silently and just say, oh, well, you know, the election's over and this is our new president and let's just pray and, you know, pray for the best. You know, God's in charge, which he is. But we just all, you know, for the most part, just sat back and we donated to maybe, you know, pro-life types of things that, you know, go out there and do some, you know, legislative work and things like that. But we didn't go out in force and march like they did in an organized fashion against what we thought was a pro-death president. We just didn't do that. So all I said on my Facebook page was, we should learn from them And, you know, we were silent 8 years ago and 4 years ago, and we should be silent no more. And that brought out some of my college friends and also one of my daughter's college friends. And as you said, they were not rude to me, but they were rude to my friends on Facebook. And it was the same thing. My private message exploded, and this girl reached out to me. I didn't reach out to her. And she said, I just want to know, are we still good? And I said, you know, I will always love you. She was one of my best friends in college. And I said, you know, we'll just have to agree to disagree. But my other friend that was getting the brunt of, you know, the anger, she messaged me as well, and it was like, you know, same thing. Who is this person? Da da da. And they basically said to her, well, you never homeschooled. And then they were, both of these girls were one is a retired teacher and one is still a teacher. And I don't even know how it devolved into education and everything like that. But it did. And, you know, and I had to go back. She said, they're saying I never homeschooled. So I went back and looked at where that message was. And I said, yes, she did homeschool. And she homeschooled here in Fort Myers. And it was just like, it was, I know why people don't do this, Meredith, because it took so much time. And then I also got messages from some of my other college friends, you know, pro and con and whatever. Just like, where has the big divide happened? And when it did, why? I guess my biggest concern in all of this, let me just get to the root cause here. Why does my opinion not count? I think that is what the root cause is. If I have an opinion that differs from you, why am I going to be slammed with anger when I didn't do that to you 8 years ago and 4 years ago? That's the underlying question I have.
You know, that is a good question. And I want to just take us back to the 20th century. I just finished a textbook called His Story of the 20th Century, and I did a lot of research. And one of the things I researched was communist countries and what they're like. And there was a one story in my book about a man who is they're boarded illegally by North Koreans, and they're kept in concentration camps for almost a year. And during that time, they got to experience a little bit of what life was like in North Korea, because the North Koreans were trying to turn them into communists. And what they did is they have these speakers, and a lot of communist countries do this. They have speakers set up, and they blare propaganda all day long. They forbid any kind of music except what's, you know, about state, about communism, about like the leader of the communist country, and all worship of God is forbidden, and all love, romance, anything like that. The whole focus is the group, communism. And in his, I mean, he was just incredulous. Like, you think by torturing me and keeping me locked up and blaring this stuff at my mind, it's going to make me docile and just accept everything about communism? And his faith in God grew stronger. Well, I want to bring us back to our day today. We are bombarded for the last 50 years by the press and by the public education system with strong ideals of a new morality that is so completely divorced from the Word of God. And this morality says it's okay to kill people, especially if they're not wanted. This new morality says, hey, you don't have to get married. You can have sex with whoever you want to have sex with. It doesn't matter. This new morality says, if you work hard, you don't have the right to keep your own money. We need to distribute the wealth. Obama, when he ran for office, he actually used socialist terms from the Communist Manifesto. And my children were incredulous because they, of course, have read the Communist Manifesto. And so I bring us all to this point. We are in a place in our nation where the media and the public education system, from preschool all the way up to college level, is constantly in a situation of almost brainwashing the people in our nation. And for those of us who believe in Jesus or who just have an intrinsic sense of morality, maybe instilled in them by their parents or whatever, they recognize this is foolishness. This is silly. And it causes them to become stronger in their beliefs. But most people in our nation do not have their beliefs because they have thoroughly researched them and looked at both sides. They've only been bombarded with one side their whole life. Bombarded, bombarded, bombarded. And so they're talking about things they don't really know. They just know this is good and the other thing is bad. And so we have this breakdown. And honestly, Felice, it is not a breakdown between political liberalism and political conservatism in our nation. We have a breakdown between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness, and what mm-hmm. God calls good and what God calls bad, that there is a group of people who've wanted to change that and call it good. And it's a very frightening thing. The battle lines are clearly drawn. Nothing is in the dark. No one is trying to look moral. It is all out battle between good and evil. Only the tables have switched on us because we are called evil if we mm-hmm. say that what God says is good, and what God says right. is bad is bad. So really, we are in a unique time in history of our nation where there is such openness about which side of the camp you're in. And it makes it really hard for young Christians who've grown up bombarded, bombarded, bombarded by all of this un-Bible, un-God things that, you know, if you do this, you're evil. If you don't do this, you're evil. And yet then they hear in church, oh, this is what the Word of God says. And a lot of young people are really confused. And I think that is a big reason that we see young people falling away from the church, falling away from Christ.
No, I agree. And I think you're so right. In fact, I just wrote a blog post about the power of words. And in this, and I guess part of it was, you know, the rhetoric from, like you said, and it's so true, Meredith, I can concur, I can confirm it. When I was sitting at the airport, all of the sound bites that came out were replays from the media. Every single thing was the first thing out of their mouth. Well, he's, in, you know, what do you think about his cahoots with the Ku Klux Klan? Then it was the birther issue. Then it was, I mean, one thing, I actually cited it all in my blog that I don't have right in front of me. Like one thing after another, after another, after another. And I just thought, I said, do any of you have an original idea? And when it came right down to it, basically I said, really, you thought everything Hillary did was great? And they said, oh, no, not really. We just disliked him more than we disliked her. And what I found, yeah, so it was like, oh, by the way, you know, we don't like her either. And of course they hate Fox News. And I said, we have one channel. And I said, half the time they'll have people on that I'm not really happy with. I said, we have one channel and you have every other channel and you're going to begrudge me my one channel. And if you don't have cable, you don't get the real Fox News. You know, my sister-in-law gets the regular one that's on because she doesn't have cable TV. And she says, no, I can't even watch that. And so, people are now listening to, you know, the hold on a second. You know, people are, I was getting beeped in my ear here. this is, you know, we're taping this and I'm not editing that out. But, you know, they're getting bombarded, like you said. And one of the things I was going to talk about, and I'll bring it back. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come right back, I want to, talk about just the jargon that goes on where you just said, Meredith, and you explained it so perfectly that it's light against dark. We'll be right back and we'll take a quick commercial break.
Powerline Productions wants to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. Because of this, we offer a wide variety of books and ebooks about homeschooling, homeschool classes, and Bible study workshops like Real Men Build. Pastor Mike and Meredith Curtis, along with their daughter Katie Beth Curtis, have written this comprehensive Bible study to help men of all ages grow in leadership in the home, in the church, and in the world. Learn more at powerlineprod.com. That's powerlineprod.com. Powerline Productions, being world changers, raising world changers.
What are those priceless gifts that money can't buy? Well, I can tell you one of the first is the gift of time. Creating memories with your children can be found in the book, Secret Code Time, Creating an Unbreakable Bond Between Parent and Child. You will find a real-life, actionable plan to help you mend a broken relationship with your child. Even if your relationship is great, this book will bring it to a new level. The next priceless gift is teaching your child the value of spending time with God. In the novel, A Few Minutes with God, written for children and teens, the story unfolds about a struggling family and the gift of hearing God and the outcome, which is a wonderful blessing from the Lord. Your children will want to pray and spend time listening to God after reading this book. Visit mediaangels.com for more information.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome back. This is Felice Gerwitz with Meredith Curtis, and today we are talking about the new trend is to unfriend. This is podcast 183, and you can find the show notes on vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. And Meredith, before we went to break, I was explaining that there is such power in words, and you can just look at it with the discussion, or you could call it the argument, over pro-life versus pro-death. And, you know, of course, they don't want to call it pro-death. They want to call it pro-choice. And it was funny when one of the ladies said, name one thing that you liked about Trump. And I just name me one thing. And I said, well, how about his stance on pro-life? And he was the only presidential candidate that I've ever seen who explained partial birth abortion during one of the debates, you know, talked about how horrible abortion was. I've never, I've heard people say that they're pro-life, but I've never heard them go into some of the reasons why they oppose abortion. And, you know, yes, he changed his position, but so did other people. There were people who were pro-life before and they changed to pro-death. And so I won't even call it pro-choice. And so the lady said to me, well, you are not pro-choice. And I said, oh, I am pro-choice. I love the idea of having a choice, but I would not call abortion pro-choice. And she goes, what are you talking about? It's the light, you know, the mother has the right. I go, oh, she has the right to kill her child? I said, if that child was two, would she have the right to kill that child? You know, we've all heard, or maybe you haven't, but I remember it was circulating some years ago, Meredith, and I don't know if you ever saw this, but it was a letter from a daughter to her parents. And this daughter was in her 30s, and she was like, the letter went something like this, and I'm going to make this all up because I don't have it in front of me, but it was something like this, and it sent chills through all of us. And this was, I would say, right after I was out of college, so it was like maybe 1980s. But this letter circulated said this, and I'll have to look and see if I can find it online. But it said, Dear Mom and Dad, I just wanted to let you know that, my husband and I are planning this big trip, and so we're really excited about it, and we've decided to, you know, take this extended vacation. And, you know, so I just wanted to let you know, because I know you've grown attached to our son, you know, who is 2 years old, but we really don't have any room for him in our lives right now, so we've decided to euthanize him. And I know you've gotten really attached to him, and I know if I probably had reached out to you earlier, you would have said, well, maybe you would take him, but I really don't want to impose my choices and my beliefs on you, because you raised me to make my own, you know, decisions, and I could do whatever I want, and if I wanted to have an abortion, that was fine, and you were all good with that. So I just wanted to let you know that this is my decision, and while it might not be popular, it's allowed by law now. And so I will let you know, I'll send you some postcards from my trip, and I'm really excited about it, and I just wanted to You know, in case you were wondering where I am, this is where I am. You know, love your daughter. But, I mean, it went on and on and on, and it led up to that. But it was, this is what was being propagated way back when, and it said, this is what could possibly happen. And this was really way when the euthanasia question was coming out, and there was, you remember the doctor deaths and all these people that were going
right.
to these specific doctors because they had terminal illnesses, and this doctor was giving him, you know, it was helping them die, quote unquote, you know, respectfully. And I mean, there's people who've been assisted suicide and things like that, who just really had no, you know, they were given these terminal diagnoses. And I know people have been given terminal diagnoses that have lived many, many, many years. And you just don't know. You're not God. You're totally cutting out the fact that there could be a miracle. And,
right.
You know, so it's just amazing. It's amazing the power of God and what God can do. And, you know, Scripture says so many things about, you know, the fact that this time would come, and it has come. You're so right. You know, there's breakdown in the family. Their kids are being told that they shouldn't listen to their parents. I remember being in college, and one of the things that the professor said to us in English class was, he said, forget everything that you've learned the last 12 years, because it's not going to be applicable in my class. And this is how you do, you know, grammar. And it was
wow.
just kind of like this whole denunciation of, you've learned nothing until you've come to my class. And this was a Christian college. And in my Christian college, my professor, we had to take Old and New Testament, and my Old Testament professor said at the beginning of class, I don't want to hear any of your thoughts or beliefs about God. I'm an atheist. I thought to myself,
oh my,
how could
goodness.
You be an atheist and be in a Christian college? And he taught it like, I mean, I had a C going into midterm, and my mother's like, you know, how can you get a C in Bible, you know? And I said, Mom, he's teaching it like a history class. It was just facts and dates and events, and it wasn't any, you know, my New Testament professor was wonderful. He made up for the Old Testament one, but I ended up having that same professor for philosophy. Back then, we didn't have rate your professor and get to go online and pick your, you know, we just had word of mouth, and he was the only professor teaching that course. But, you know, it's like, unless you are strong in your faith. So my question then, Meredith, would be, how do we instill this in our children? How do we get them to understand, you know, a way to discuss things rationally, calmly, and with truth?
Well, there's two answers to that question. And the first answer is, train your child to know and love, understand, and proclaim the Word of God. And that starts when children are really little, reading the Bible, studying the Bible, memorizing Scripture, role-playing. We role-play with our kids how to share the gospel, how to defend the faith, learning apologetics, learning worldviews, so that you are fully armed and fully equipped to defend the faith. And that takes a big investment. And parents need to not forget Bible, not forget those kind of things when they're preparing their classes for the year.
Right.
Another aspect of that is to teach children to communicate, because children can naturally be self-centered. So one of the first things in communication is to think about the other person, to think of them more highly than yourself. And according to Philippians 2, to learn to have gracious conversation skills, to be able to greet people, hi, how are you, and how are things going, answering and sharing. And then there is the whole idea of disagreeing and how to disagree. The Bible tells us that a gentle answer turns away wrath. A gentle answer, when you speak a gentle answer, it won't even just turn away their wrath. It will turn away your own wrath. You can actually calm yourself down by speaking a gentle answer. And to remember, when we're dialoguing with someone, we're representing Christ. We're his ambassador. We're appealing to others through him. And so it's not about being right. And I think teaching your children, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble, it's not about being right. It's about urging people to consider the claims of Christ, to consider what the Bible has to say about things, and to have a love for the truth. And, you know, teaching children that whether you believe it or not, truth doesn't change. Truth is the same. And so when people are disagreeing, the object isn't to make the person look stupid, which seems to be the way most of this stuff going on in Facebook and in social media is. If you believe this, you're a stupid idiot. Well, really, you're not saying anything. But to be able to present arguments clearly, logically, and, you know, most children don't even learn logic anymore. So we're dealing with generation after generation from the public school system who've never even been taught logic. So when you try to sit down and systematically argue with them, they're not going to understand for the most part. So it's teaching children to explain their position in a way that's kind and gracious, and also how to take one of the things we can teach our children, and this comes like in writing essays, especially persuasive essay, giving persuasive speeches, is when you say, okay, here's my position. Now, here's what people who disagree with me will say, and here's my response to that. That's something that we can teach our children. And finally, the Bible says that if you have an offense with someone, you go and keep it just between the two of you. I see all the time where people are blasting each other instead of privately going to them in a message, and also just believing gossip and lies and slanders as if it's true. Right. I always see leaders attacked by that, and I get so tired. I just got a new laptop, and it opens up, and they attack our new president. Like, there's a big attack headline every like two or three of them. Every time I open my computer, I'm like, oh, I hate this. And a couple times I'll read the article and find out that the article does not prove the headline. The headline is just a nasty smear attack. And I think, oh my goodness, this is so bizarre. Like, there's not even an attempt to be truthful and to be honest. And lastly, we need to teach our children the most important thing is to have integrity before the Lord. Whether we win arguments, win elections, or lose elections, lose arguments, the most important thing is how we conducted ourselves before the Lord, because this life isn't all there is. We have eternity. And how sad to look back from eternity and not have defended what is true and right and good.
And that was the thing, you know, in my discussions, I ended up, you know, face-to-face, I think, again, you can be more civil. I was civil. I don't know that I would say that the people I was talking to were civil. But one of the things I did was they kept saying, well, I don't understand you. I don't understand where you're coming from. And I said, well, you don't know anything about me. And I said, the first is I'm a homeschooler. And the second is, you know, I have an education background. Before they could say, I don't ever pull out the education card, but I do when I'm in a situation where they're going to start saying, well, you know, how do you have any ability to homeschool? Right. And I'll tell you what, people I know without education degrees do a lot better than I did. And then, you know, the third point was that I said, well, I'm also an author publisher. And they said, oh, what did you write? And I said, I wrote creation science books. And they looked at me like the one lady, it just deflated her. This is the one who I had a conversation with because she was so vehement for abortions. And I said, so how many did you have? I didn't even say, did you? I just knew. And she said, oh, I had two. And, you know, calmly explained to me that one was because she was very young and had not used any birth control. And so she had an abortion then. And the second was because birth control didn't work. And I thought to myself, you know, and after she was done, and I said, do you have any regrets? And she said, none at all. I have a child that I want. And I said, okay. And I said, did I call you anything hateful? And she said, no. And I said, did I say anything that would cause you to think that I'm even giving you my opinion here? I said, I think you know my opinion. I said, but am I even sharing my opinion with you? And she said, no. And I said, that is how a conversation should go. I said, we would have to completely agree to disagree on that subject. And then that was when they kept saying, you know, well, how did you come to this conclusion or whatever? And it was because, you know, I said, I'm very pro-life. I believe that we are created in God's image. I believe, you know, the entire Bible is true from the beginning of Adam and Eve in the creation until the end of Revelations. And they just kind of looked at me. And it was when I said that about writing creation science materials, I could just see her deflate. I mean, she just like her shoulders sagged and she just sat back. It was as if, you know, something had been unplugged. And it was like she knew there was no more reason left, you know, in my, because I thought it was going to be totally unreasonable. But it was so funny because my daughter even said to her, and then someone said to me, well, you know, do you have children? I said, yes, I have 5 and my daughter has 7. And they were like, 7? Well, your daughter must be very wealthy. And I said, no, I said, you know, they do extremely well with what God has given them. And God has provided, and there is not one of the children who is going hungry. Or, you know, it was just like, how could you do that? And it was just like, excuse me, we used to have big families everywhere we went. You know, we used to have, you know, and people, it was funny. I had a friend who, he was a Protestant pastor and he became Catholic, and people would say to him when he said, oh, I have 8 children. And he said, you know, they'd say, oh, you're Catholic. And he said, well, I just became Catholic, but I had 7 when I was Protestant. You know, it was like, you know, it's not just a Catholic thing, you know, it wasn't a Catholic
That's
thing
so
or a
funny.
Protestant thing. You know, it's being open to life and being open to what God has in store for you. And only in that way are you going to truly be happy, because what I saw, Meredith, I saw was hate and I saw anger. And I said to the one poor lady, I said to her, are you going to be angry for the next 4 years? And she said, yes, I am. And I thought, that is going to take such a toll on your health. And for what? How did we get to be so diametrically polarized? And I would say that I would think, and I'm going to be optimistic here, Meredith. I would say that the majority of people are more conservative, or at least, you know, more people do not agree that abortion is right. But the problem is it has been spun in such a way that we are taking away the rights of a woman. And because it has been spun that way, people don't want to talk out against it. But I am praying that there is a new infilling of the Holy Spirit on our land, that people will see that what is right and what God has proclaimed in the natural order of things becomes right again. I am going to pray with all of my being for the next 4 years for joy to infiltrate our world, for there to be hope, because there has been some semblance of hope. And I'm going to continue to pray for that. And I think that if you are a Christian listening to this, you know, we need to join in and do that. And, you know, I know I started out with, you know, the unfriending is the new trend. If there are people, which there have been people on my Facebook page that I don't want to see any more of what they have to say, all you have to do is minimize them. And there will be an option, and I select don't see any more from this person, and then I go back to their profile, and I unfollow them. I am still their friend, because if you do unfriend them, and I know some people are unfriending and blocking, and that's fine too, but if you do unfriend them, they will be given the option to be your friend down the road, and they will know that you have unfriended them, and I know some people don't care. But I do think that we can, you know, if by some chance what you're saying in a positive light and some of the things that you're sharing could make an impact. And that's what I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray that, you know, that the Lord is, you know, does give us the words that we need to use, Meredith. You know, I could have been silent in the situation I was in. I could have gotten up and walked away. But I felt like the Lord was keeping me there. And not only that, the plane was delayed by 2 hours. So I was,
wow.
I was sitting there, and I just said to the Lord, seriously, you know, when I kept seeing the delays popping in on my phone. And I had so much work to do, and I brought my computer, and I didn't do that. And also, I posted my little Facebook comment before the plane left while I still had Wi-Fi, and then I wrote a blog post while I was sitting on the plane instead of getting any work done, because I felt so, I don't know, led. And that's the thing, you know, we have to be led to be that voice. My daughter, when she goes to the grocery store and she's in public with all those little babies, and you know, Meredith, you had a big family, and mm-hmm. your kids are closer together than mine are, because I had the 2 older and then the 3 younger. So while I went in, you know, with 5 kids, it wasn't the same as going with 5, I call them all babies, you know, 12 and under, you know, is what my daughter
right.
has right now. And she's such a witness, and she is so strong. Her major was communication, which, you know, I mean, I'm telling people, they don't know my daughter, but if you see Christina and you're going to make some smart aleck comment about, you know, don't you know how that happens, or, you know, da da da, she's going to say something back. You know, she's not going to be rude, but she is going to say, you know, they're all a blessing, or, you know, she'll have something that, because she's thought about it, you know, because at first you're mm-hmm. just shocked that anybody would even comment on that. And, you know, that's happened to me before too, like these people saying, well, obviously they're very wealthy, because what, only wealthy people can afford that many kids? If God has given you that many children and you have been open to life because you love the Lord and you want His plan for your life, then don't you think He will provide? It's just, to me, it's like a given. So as we conclude, Meredith, what are some ending thoughts that you have on the situation, you know, not only on Facebook, which I think you shared going to them privately, which I think is wonderful, and I ended up doing as well. My conversations with the friend who was very opposed ended up being, we'll just need to agree to disagree, because it was just so
right.
polarizing.
Well, here's some advice. Always look for opportunities to talk about history and truth with young people who've graduated from public education. I've sat down with so many young people of different races, different economic backgrounds who graduate from public school, and I try to turn the subject to history. And I just get them talking, and I'll say, oh, did you know this? Did you know that? Did you know this? And a lot of times they look at me and they say, wow, I've never heard that before. And actually dialoguing with young people has such an effect on them. And I've seen a lot of people change their political beliefs just because I've sat and just shared history, you know, oh, this happened mm-hmm. and then this happened. And then they realize, wow, I was never taught that. As homeschooling moms, we have so much information that is good, and we need to start sharing it one-on-one, because also blogging about things and posting things in a positive light. As whenever you go to post something or blog something, if possible, ask the Lord to help you put a really positive, exciting spin on it so that it will attract
exactly.
people. All yes. of us have so many friends who disagree with us about things, and we mm-hmm. want to proclaim things that matter to God. But I think there's a lot of inaccuracies that are being taught in schools that are being promoted by the media, and just speaking about true things. For example, I had a friend from high school post a video of Ben Carson taking his pledging his, you know, with his hand on the Bible, taking his oath of office for the HUD secretary, and his wife was holding the Bible, and she had their grandchild was there, and she was needing to talk to the grandchild quite a bit. So my friend from high school's post comment was, "See how ashamed she is of her husband because she's bending down." And I thought,
oh my gosh,
you have got to be kidding. This man is a pioneer in the world of neurosurgery. He is amazing. There is no way she is ashamed of her husband. And so I wrote a little comment. I said, oh, well, having five children, I know what it's like to have a fussy preschooler, you know, whatever I said, something that was really light. But so instead of like saying, you idiot, I can't believe you would say that, blah, 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 I chose to defend her and set the record straight in a way that was funny and gentle. And so anyway, I don't know if that helps.
No, it does.
You guys out
That's
there,
wonderful.
But I think staying tuned into the Lord, what can I say now that's really going to impart truth? Because Jesus said, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. So our call is not just to call people to Christ, but mm-hmm. our call is to teach. And I think that we can have so many teachable moments. And one last thing, I was in an airport. I was flying to the Netherlands. This was years ago. And there was a young man from the Netherlands. So we just started talking. And I asked him how high taxes were. And he was defending the rate. He paid like 72% in taxes a year.
Wow.
And I was flabbergasted. And I just started talking to him about, you know, what the Bible says about economics and all this kind of stuff. And I ended up sharing so much stuff with him. And he said to me, I've never heard any of that. Now, we didn't have an argument. I was just sharing some stuff. I, you know, he was not a Christian. And I said, oh, did you know mm-hmm. the Bible talks about economics? And so anyway, wherever we go, we have that anointing as a follower of Jesus to make disciples by sharing the gospel and by teaching his truth.
I love that. And on that note, I think we'll end because you've summed it up so beautifully. Well, thank you so much, Meredith, for coming on and, you know, sharing your heart with us. And I hope that you will do a podcast, Meredith podcast on this network. So tell us a little bit about some of the upcoming shows. And I think that would be great to have a show on, you know, like a discussion on how you know, you could even do a role-playing, Meredith. Here we are talking about upcoming shows, but I think that would be great on just how to explain to someone who is vehemently opposed and maybe starting with history like you mentioned, because I think that is a common ground. A lot of times, if you start with scripture, they're just going to ignore ignore you and say, oh, but see, you did it in a way that said, did you know the Bible has a lot to say about such and so? Without just bringing just the Bible, you explain something that they would be interested in, and that was finances. So, you know, that would be great to have some shows. So tell us about your show.
Well, that is a great idea. I think I'll do that. Our show is called Finish Well, and tonight our podcast is called Electives That We Loved, and it is by three homeschool grads. It's actually a session from our Finish Well conference. And so we're really excited about that show tonight. And some upcoming shows are going to be working our way through college, and it's going to be several teens sharing how they're working their way through college instead of borrowing money and, you know, where they're going, what they're doing. And then we did a show last month that I loved, and it was called Because He Loved Her, and it's about God's love for Sarah and just some insights the Lord gave me into that story that I think you'll really, really enjoy, especially if you're listening and you wonder sometimes, you know, does God really have a purpose for you? And so enjoy that if you haven't heard it yet. It's because he loved her, and there's a picture of Sarah on the front. So So
wonderful.
Anyway,
I'll put the link in as well on the podcast. Yeah, so if you go to ultimatehomeschoolradionetwork.com, on that front page, you'll see the Finish Well, and it has a really pretty red FW, and you'll see, I believe it's still red, Meredith, if memory calls. I'm not sitting in front of a computer today. It's downstairs. So.
It's actually turquoise. It's actually turquoise.
Oh, turquoise. Okay.
Yes.
Right, turquoise. And you'll find that on the front page of the website, and then you'll be able to find all of her shows. And one of the best things you can do, I'm the techie person in the group here, is you can go to iTunes and just look for Finish Well, and you'll find it. Or you can even look up Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network on iTunes, and you'll see all of our shows. And then all you have to do is follow it. If you follow the show, and even if you have Google Play, you can get it on there, any podcast app, and then you'll get all of the new shows as they come up, and you'll never have to miss a show. And you can listen to it on your phone, then you can delete it when you're done, and not so it won't take up a lot of room if you don't have a lot of room on your phone. And it's a great way so you don't have to always go to the website or get the newsletter that we send out every week with what's coming up. So that's great. And what else did you want to share about the podcast, or did you have something else you wanted to share?
The rest, we have other shows. We have a couple of God's Girl shows coming up where one, we're going to talk about beauty and how to be beautiful inside and out. And then another one where just some typical questions that young girls ask, and I'm going to have some of our God's Girls answer and share those things. So those are just a few of the things that are coming up.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Meredith, for coming on today. And check out Meredith, check out her website. You could even just look at MeredithCurtis.com is probably one of the easiest ways to get there. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Felice. God bless everyone.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.